Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Thank you, Duke, once again. Yes, that's right. You are listening to the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. On the other line, as always, is a man who on the weekend got kicked out of a Pizza Hut, David Ralston. How you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm okay. You've caught me during my nap time. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon here, and that's normally my nap time, but I'll battle through. And I did get kicked out of it. Look, and I deserve to get, well, I sort of deserve to get kicked out because I went berserk at them. Like, I f***ing lost my shit at them. But so I'd had a great weekend. I got home Friday, had a fridge full of food and drink for all weekend. And the weather was, so I was inside all weekend watching movies and the footy and the golf and didn't have to talk to a person. So it was fantastic. So by Sunday night, I ran out of food. So I thought, okay, I'll dial a pizza and I'll have to talk to someone, but whatever. So I dial the pizza. They say, we'll put you on hold for a second and we'll get back to you. I said, yeah, no worries. They didn't get back to me. So I got in my car and drove down to the pizza shop while I was still on hold. So I walk into the pizza shop and say, look at my phone here. 26 minutes I've been on hold for. What are you fucking idiots doing? And the bloke goes, mate, no, we didn't do it. No. And I said, boof. And he goes, look, we've only got phones 1 and 2, and here they are. And he showed me, and phones 1 and 2 had phone 2 and 3 printed on them. I said, mate, that's phones 2 and 3. Where's phone 1, you lying bastard? And he goes, oh, I don't know. And then he gets it, and you can hear me talking, coming out of phone 1. There you go, mate. And I've gone, I'm pushing off the desk and fucking going berserk. And he goes, oh, mate, sorry, we'll cook your pizza straight away. I said, straight away is no good to me, mate. It's fucking 26 minutes already. And I lost me. I was fucking just had enough and went fucking to Domino's next door. But, yeah, they didn't want me in there anymore. They were very keen for me to be outside that store.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so as I said,
Don't mess with Dave Ralston's food.
Well, I'd had a great weekend where I hadn't had to talk to a person the whole weekend. And finally, Sunday night, like I said, I just ran out of food. And I was in no condition to mess with the public at all. But then when things went wrong, I handled it poorly.
Jeez, I was thinking we had a bit of a talk about cleaning up the language on this podcast. I might have to, after that little rant, I might have to work out how to beep a few swear words out.
Did I swear then? Did I?
Yeah, just a couple of times.
Oh, sorry. There you go. I was fairly excited. I was fairly upset that they had me on hold for so long. But that kicked out. Well, and as I mentioned, though, I did enjoy watching a fair bit of the US Open. What about yourself?
Yes, I watched. I actually stayed up. That's the only problem. It's come on really late, even for a golf tournament start that was on in America. But I was up late most nights on the final round. I got up at 5 o'clock and watched the final round, mainly because, you know, when you put a few bets on and some of you guys are in the hunt, it's always good to get. Jesus, I tell you what, watching professional golf when you've got money on the line is nerve-wracking. Like, what, especially on a course like this.
Well, having said that, let's clear up the betting. So you've backed the winner yourself and for our punt club, that's correct?
Yeah, I think I backed about 4 straight outs winners, and Brooks Koepka was one of those.
How do you say his surname?
I thought it was Koepka, like the O was that, but it's silent, so it's just Koepka.
Koepka. Not Chopra like I was saying.
Nah, Brooks Koepka.
So you backed the winner.
Yep.
I had a Quinella for guys obviously to finish first and second, and they got second and third.
Yeah, that would have been big money.
And that would have been, so between, that actually sounds like we've got some idea what we know what we're talking about with golf.
Yeah. And I had Tommy Fleetwood, who I loaded up on him, who actually finished, come second by a stroke. Yeah. And what I really wanted was Dustin Johnson to fall away a little bit just so I could cheer for my boy to have a bogey on the last to force a playoff and have my two guys in the playoff together. And that would have been like, you know, back in a four-leg quarter, getting the first 3 legs in, taking the field in the last, and then just sitting back and it's a matter of how much money you win sort of thing. But, yeah, I still did win a lot more.
Did you say what happened with the bet? Our straight-up bet against each other?
No, what happened there? That was, remind me what the bet was again. That was when we took one player each.
Yeah, you had Ricky Fowler.
That's right.
And I had I had my boy Bryce DeChambeau.
DeChambeau, yep.
And your boy finished on 291.
291.
And my boy finished on 292.
Yes.
I think Fowler had 5 or 6 under on the last day. He had the second best round of the tournament on the last day to get my boy one. So I've bought us a lotto ticket. There's an $8 million draw tonight. The ticket is in my wallet and ready to win.
Yeah, very good, very good.
I spoke to my golf guru, Robert Pinozzo, about the condition of the tournament.
Yep.
And he knows more about golf than me, and he told me it's not good enough.
A lot of people are saying that. Look, I don't know either, but I've listened to a few podcasts, and a lot of people complain.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying it's not. I agree with him, but he said the top 15 or 20 guys each day should be able to shoot 1 or 2 under, maybe 3, and then the rest, you know, you might 1, 2, 3, and 4 over. And so the winner at the end of the week still should be 5 or 6 under sort of thing, and, you know, and if you have a great round, whatever. But not you know, a guy 1 or 2 over and the rest of the field 10s and 12s over. He said that's not good enough. He said they've got that wrong. And all the complaints they had were well-founded. They terms like they lost the course and all that sort of stuff. Not good enough. And what about the big thing was the Mickelson craziness. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did. But hang on, before we get to that, I really want to talk about that. Just going back to what you just said about the scores. The next day, I was watching a little bit of golf, and I flicked over, and there was the LPGA Classic was on the other channel, and the winner, like, so Brooks Koepka shot, like you said, 1 over to win the US Open.
Yeah.
The lady who won that, whose name was Yu So Young, I think she shot 21 under to win it. And you know what was funny? Like switching over and watching it, going from watching a course where you were just waiting for bogeys and doubles and triples to watching them where they just, if they hit the ball towards the green, it landed on the green and just stopped and stayed there. And you thought, geez, you could make that putt. Like it just looked the chalk and cheese between the two golf courses. It was just amazing.
Which one's better? What's better to watch?
Oh, the better courses. You want to see people shoot scores, I reckon. At the start, I was really enjoying this. It was just a bit of a novelty to watch, you know, just it's like watching a car racing and waiting for a crash to happen. Like that's all you're waiting for. This was kind of, but after a while, I was getting a little bit sick of it. What actually did amaze me though is, it's one thing for the course to be really hard and, you know, the pros to miss putts and all that sort of stuff. But there was a couple of times where some of the big names were like, you know, like 10 meters off the green and were just chipping a wedge on. And again, it's one thing not to be able to stop it there, but I don't know how many times I've seen the pros like skinny it over the back of the green and hit the tower. It just amazed me. But in saying that, my brother made a really good point. He said maybe just because of the course was set up to really test the players and that was the talk about it, just like slaughtering them, maybe they showed a lot more of those actual shots than where we're actually accustomed to because you know, so, like, just showed in the scores.
So the English dude who had what he had 92 on the first day had 22 over. That's unheard of. That like the overs and under for highest score was 86.
Yeah.
And a dude had 92. That was bizarre. But yeah, Mickelson now. So if you don't know what he did was he's hit a putt past the hole. He chased after it and hit it while it was still moving.
Yeah, back towards the hole again.
Yeah, like, back towards.
It was like you would think he thought it was night golf.
Yeah. Well, did you hear his explanation?
Oh, it was shocking. Yeah, go, yep.
Well, it made sense as in he figured the two-shot penalty was going to be less of a penalty than the ball going all the way down to where it was going to finish and how many shots it was going to take him to come back. So he figured, I'll take the two-shot penalty and I'll be better off than the 4 or 5 putts I'll have to take if I don't hit it while it's moving. That's bizarre.
Yeah, and look, that's the worst thing about it. Like the fact that this is not I heard someone else say this and I fully agree with it on the Shack House podcast. They said the fact that if he had have came in the club rooms afterwards and just said, oh, look, I was frustrated. I had a brain fart. I just snapped. I apologize. I'll regret that. I'm so sorry. I put the, you know, if they want to disqualify me, go ahead. But the fact he came in with a bit of a smirk on his face and was like, yeah, now I've outthought the game here. I've deliberately done this and claimed to have he couldn't wait for an opportunity to give this a try. He said he thought about doing it at Augusta.
Oh, I didn't hear that much of it.
That just makes it just like when I first, because I didn't see it live, I heard about it and I thought maybe what's happened, he's putted it and it stopped on like a ledge and he's gone down to have his next putt. And as he's putted, then it's moved. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, yeah, that's a bit dicey because that could happen on these greens and I don't know what the ruling is there. But the fact that he actually, deliberate. Yeah, it was as deliberate as it gets. And look, we've all done it before when mucking around having hit with our mates. Like, I've done it on a punk club trip. That's one thing. I just don't think there's any need for it in the US Open.
Did you see what else I found out while I was looking up this?
What?
Whoopi Goldberg has got no eyebrows.
Yeah, I know that, but why?
Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that. I've been saying that for years. I didn't know that.
That was news to me. I was stunned. And deliberately, she does it for fashion.
Yeah. It's funny because I haven't said that to you because I've been spruiking about this for years and years and years. And every time I say to someone, they're like, oh, you're right, she hasn't. I'm like, how does people not notice this?
To me before.
Really? No. Because I thought she might have had like alopecia and I thought maybe she wore a wig. But yeah, I looked up not that long ago that it is, yeah, she actually shaves them off.
Well, and you know, Milhouse Van Houten is the only Simpson character with eyebrows.
No, that I didn't know.
There you go.
How'd you stumble across the eyebrow?
I may have got distracted while I was Googling golf stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I found those both stunning.
Yeah, so anyways, I reckon...
Sorry to get off track.
Yeah, no, that's quite all right. But I think they should have actually disqualified, Phil. I thought that they should have just said, nah, we're not putting up with that, and you're done. I reckon that would have been the best thing for that. I don't think that was very good.
Yeah, I don't know. I said if it's done sort of as a protest that they stuffed up the making of the course, I get that he's doing a protest. But, yeah, the rule is you're allowed to do it if you get a two-shot penalty. So, I can see your point, though. That's fair enough. Now, look, while we're on golf and we've got it, we don't do it very often because it doesn't happen very often, but what I would call the second biggest name in Australian golf ever, Peter Thomson, passed away today. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I am. I wasn't until I went over to the Black Bull golf course just before because I noticed as driving in, I actually noticed that the flags were at half mast and I thought, I thought, what's this all about? And as I walked in, I asked Phil behind the jump there, and he said, yeah, because as people that listen to this are probably aware that Thomson designed the golf course here, the Black Bull golf course.
So what about second biggest name in Australian golf history? Fair enough?
Yeah. So
Greg is the biggest.
Norman at number one. Yeah, that's fair enough. Some might even have Thomson at number one, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, Norman. So I'm basing that on five British Opens. Yep, so you know how you're carrying on, not carried on, but we mentioned that it was Chopra won two in a row and it was such a good effort. Chopra.
Yeah,
Oprah?
Kepka.
Kepka?
Yep.
Thomson won three British Opens in a row.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good game.
Then missed a year, won another one, and then won another one 10 years later. I reckon that's fantastic. And apparently the greatest hitter of a three iron basically that has ever lived.
Well, they said, because I think he'd been sick for a little while.
Yeah, he had Alzheimer's. That's a bloody cruel,
Was it Alzheimer's?
Yeah, long battle with Alzheimer's, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Now, so you mentioned Black Bull, which he designed, which fantastic.
Which was his last golf course he designed.
All right, so what about these? Wairaki?
Oh, he didn't Wairaki, did he?
Yeah, remember Wairaki?
Yeah, I do, in New Zealand, yep.
Yep. Flinders?
Yeah, I knew that. I love Flinders. That's one of my personal favourites. Who?
Longreef.
The other he did one Longreef, is... did he?
Yep. Barwon Heads?
Yep, I knew that one, yep.
All right. And now we're going on our golf trip in a couple of weeks, and probably we're basing it around the highlight is Hope Island.
Ah, yes. I'm really, really looking forward to playing Hope Island.
Not the Peter Thomson one, Hope Island. And are we playing Twin Waters as well?
Well, it's on the list. Twin Waters is, we're playing Pelican Waters on the Saturday, and we were tossing up between Twin Waters and Palmer Coolum. But now we've got a new little thing going where one of the golf pros that I played with a few months back at the Pro-Am here for the Vic Seniors Open, gave me his contact details and told me to look him up if we were coming up that way, which I have done. And he has replied today with a bunch of courses that we might be interested in, and he's going to try to have a round with us. And he's starting the first leg, the Queensland leg of the Legends Tour, he said. So he's going to try to organise one of the other Legends to come and play with us to make a four. So we might have to scratch Twin Waters, and he suggested a few others that we might have to take him up on that offer and go have a hit with him.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I can't wait for that. Playing with blokes like that, which you get to do a bit more than I do these days, is fantastic. I used to in the old days. And, yeah, so that sounds great. So, yeah, so Hope Island, Pelican Waters, wherever these two pros want to play with us. And then we're going to do
Windaroo,
the new driving range.
Top Golf. What's that called? Top Golf.
So, yeah, that's that sounds like a good little trip we've got ready to go there.
Yes, yes. So, like, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to obviously be taking the podcast equipment with us because we'll be doing pods from while we're on the road there. But I am going to try to get this guy to sit down with us for a few minutes because after the round last time I played with him, he had some of the best stories. He's just really comical and tells a great story. So I'm definitely going to try it. And I asked him then whether I could get him on the podcast then, and he was all for it, but he said his wife was pretty crook and he had to get home straight away. Right. And that's why when he said, here's my number, when you're up there, look me up. And so, wow. Yeah, so hopefully we'll get that on there because that will be some great listening and we'll pump that right up.
That sounds great. Some great golf courses, and sounds like we've got a couple of great blokes lined up to play with. Can't wait. So there we go. So we've got the US Open, a little tribute to Peter Thompson, and a little preview of our golf trip coming up. That sounds really good.
Absolutely. Cannot wait for that. All right, Rolls, let's keep this pod moving. What do you reckon we go into some question time?
Welcome to question time.
Okay, yes. Now, all right, a good friend of mine, Gavin Hughes. Do you know him?
Gavin Hughes? Oh, what?
Him. And also another avid listener, Jess Mancini, who is now Jess Goody.
Yes.
The both of them have sent in a question.
Oh, no.
They want a quick little superheroes movie roundup.
Right.
With Justice League and Infinity War and Deadpool and all them coming out and all that sort of stuff, they've got a bit lost in the mix and they just want us to clear up what's what and what's going on there. And I figured who better than me and you did it to get what's going on there.
And also one of the most complicated subjects of all time.
Let's keep it simple. Right. I seen Justice League on the weekend, which is the Superman, Batman, Aquaman
which
one.
Which I haven't seen yet.
You haven't seen that.
No.
Well, it's all really good and all that. It actually got reviewed poorly. The problem with it is Superman wrecks it because there's no argument. Like, the whole point of the movie is the conflict and the fight and the whatever. Superman can't be beat, and he wrecks it. So Superman's dead at the start, and it's all going great, and Wonder Woman's cool, and Aquaman, have you heard? Aquaman comes out, and the bloke goes to Aquaman, what do you do? And he goes, oh, I stop crime in the ocean. And the bloke goes, there is no crime in the ocean. And the woman goes, see, I'm doing my job. But they're fighting the bad guy from outer space, which is all well and good. And Affleck's pretty cool as Batman, even though people have been bagging him. But the thing is, they rise Superman from the dead, which is, you know, you can do in movies. But then Superman just wins the fight too easy and it's all over.
We should have mentioned spoiler alert at the start of this.
No, that's okay. No, these movies have been out long enough. You don't have to spoil
it. Well, I suppose, we weren't going in thinking Superman loses.
No, exactly. Yeah, yep. So how about Infinity War? We saw that the other day and there was a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. Really good, though. I really enjoyed Infinity Wars. It's got they've just got the right, the DC ones have just got the right amount, Marvel have just got the right amount of comedy sort of mixed in with it, and obviously, you know, you got the Robbie Downey Jr. and those boys
having fun.
Yeah.
Where DC takes themselves a bit too serious, where Marvel are having a bit more fun.
Yeah,
but is there an equivalent of Superman in the Marvel world? There isn't, is there?
Not on that. Thor might be the closest, just because he is a god and all that sort of stuff. I know Superman isn't, but he's
got beat real easy.
Sorry?
When his sister showed up in the movie before, Thor got beat easily.
Yeah. But also, I'm just trying to get the closest to it because watching the movie, do you think the leader of them all is Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.?
He's the leader. But, he's the leader.
Well, he's actually not because he refers to it a lot of times that I'm not the leader and points to Chris Evans' character, Captain America as the leader of the group.
Yeah, then Captain. Yeah, you're right. Iron Man was the leader early. Then it was Captain America. Yeah. So and now they're trying to get Deadpool in with the Marvel. So and the X-Men are going to get in with the Marvel lot.
Yes.
And how is Deadpool?
It is a masterpiece. It is so well done. Whether it's better than the first one, I still haven't made my mind up on that. Just because, when I came out, I thought, yep, that was better. And I thought, was it better? It was because it's newer and all. So I've got to give it a little bit of time before I make that decision.
Yeah, but I loved it too. Yeah, Deadpool, it's brilliant. It was, it's funny. I've seen a thing with Batman and Superman talking the other day, and they said, oh, what's Green Lantern doing? And they said, oh, he's just pretending to be Deadpool in the movies or something like that. They're really good. So take your time, watch them. But, yeah, you're probably – it's good. Thor Ragnarok as a lead into Avengers was brilliant.
Yeah, I watched that after I went back and watched that. That was a lot better than I was anticipating because the first Thor I didn't think much of at all.
Too serious again, wasn't it? But yeah. Where Ragnarok had a bit more fun in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. The Civil War one, Captain America Civil War wasn't real good. But the Infinity War one was really cool. And the Galaxy, what's the Galaxy ones? What are they called?
Guardian of the Galaxies.
Yeah, the two Guardians of the Galaxies are really good as well.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, yep, yep.
Yeah, yep, yep. So there you go, Gav and Jess. I hope you enjoy that. And go out and watch them all and catch up. They're worth seeing. And so does Tag. Have you seen the print? Tag looks good, doesn't it?
Oh, Tag looks fantastic. Yeah,
that not that Tag is probably going to end up in the Marvel Universe, but Tag looks cool.
It does.
Yes. All right, and now, speaking of weirdos, like people who do the movie Tag, I've got another nomination for Weirdo of the Week.
Oh, geez, all right, I'll have to, I'm going to, yep, all right, let's go straight to Weirdo of the Week.
I'm a weirdo, yeah, I'm a weirdo. People looking at me crazy, I don't care though. I'm a weirdo, weirdo.
All right. Do you want me to tell you what happened first or who the nomination is?
Tell me what happened first.
Right. Well, you probably guessed. We're at work the other day, and it's all quiet and normal at work. So me and Bryce are in one office, and the ops manager's in an adjoining office. Bryce stands up and looks at me, and he goes, Davis, he calls me Davis. He goes, Davis, do you want to play a game? He said, we're in the middle of the fucking work day, mate. He goes, no, we'll play a game. I said, yeah. All right, mate, what are we playing? And he goes, let's play guess where me belly button is. You're fucking kidding, aren't you? He goes, no, we'll play guess where me belly button. I said, okay. And he goes, oh, hang on. And he yells out, Martin, which is the ops manager, who's a 55-year-old man with a lot on his plate and a lot of work to do. Martin, come in here. We're playing guess where me belly button is. Right? So he puts his finger in the middle of his belly and he starts moving it up and down like towards his neck and towards his belt buckle and says, okay, tell me when to stop when you think you know where my belly button is. So we both sort of guess in the normal belly button region and he goes, nah, you're way out. It's way up here. It's nearly in between his nipples. So we both lost guess where my belly button is, but Bryce won Weirdo of the Week for suggesting we play it.
Oh, geez, we might have to get here. I keep saying we might have to. And we might have to change this to the title is to...
Bryce's Weird Something of the Week.
Yeah.
And on that, I've got a Bryce-related announcement to come, which will be one of the great life-changing announcements and things you didn't know that you will ever hear in your life.
Gee whiz, okay.
It is up there with the wheel and fire and the iPhone and whatever chicken else salt. You want. It's one of the great discoveries of all time.
Righto.
It's a little teaser.
Oh, so it's not, you're not coming now. It's going to be late.
No. It's way too big. It nearly needs its own show.
Right.
That's for future shows.
All right. So that's Weirdo of the Week. Done?
Bryce Moyson again has won Weirdo of the Week.
Congratulations to you, Bryce.
Very hard to beat.
Now, one little thing I want to just get on air. When I went over to the pro shop, I was talking to James McKelly.
Yep.
And And he was just saying, him and the boys just went out and had a round of golf. They played skins, right? They put money in there. I don't know what the amount of money was.
Yep.
James said he shot a 62 off the stick and won one skin for the day.
Oh, my God.
He was actually like, James is normally up and about. He was pretty deflated. He was actually like, he couldn't believe. He goes, and every time I like someone knocked one in to have the hole, or, you know, so I didn't win the skin. He goes, it was just someone different all day. It wasn't like someone else shot the lights out. He said it was just every time. He goes, someone else just did something out of the box that just knocked me out. 62 off the stick, and he said he won one skin.
Oh, that's tough, yeah.
The course record at Black Bull's only 63. He's beat the course record.
he should have won 9 or 12 skins.
Yeah, or 18.
Yeah, that's why skins can be great. If you've got a good group, And the collective can hang with the superstar. That's good. Oh, speaking of superstars, there was something else I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Our great mate Greg Ragone won the club championship at Jubilee last weekend.
Oh, did he? Shout out to
you. Yeah. Yep. Riggers, he hadn't won. He used to win a heap when he was younger, but hadn't won one for a while. But he won it by a couple of shots. So yeah, congratulations to Riggers. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is great. That is great.
How you going? Anything else?
No, we've got the this coming up this weekend. The Black Bull here is the what they have their monthly Black Bull challenge, and it's actually called the Gold Cup, which I love. It's actually you get 9 mulligans throughout the round.
Oh, you've told me about that tournament. Yeah, that's great. I'd love to play in something like that. Yeah.
So when I was over there before, I warned them all that the Matador's coming down. I said just be weary of that. You'll know when he arrives.
Now, the Matador, he gave himself that nickname, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going with this. Yes, he did, yep.
Did you see the thing on Facebook? Oh, I think it was having a go at me and you.
Yes.
I think it was about giving it. Now, I didn't give myself cannon at all.
No, you didn't.
I think you did give yourself disco, though.
Well, someone asked what nickname... I did.
You run with it strongly, which is fine by me. Yeah.
I actually,
but the Matador is brilliant.
Yeah, the Matador is a great, great nickname for someone who loves playing the Black Bull. But with the disco nickname, the question was, what would you like it to be? And I said then Drago and a few of the boys started messaging me in like disco, and so it started gaining legs. So I just ran with it after that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, no, and again, too, you're allowed to have a performance name when you.
I was just about to say, I'm not running around introducing myself as disco.
Yeah, it's like a stage name. So that's okay. But yeah, no, I did see that someone had a crack at us about nicknames, that's all well and good. Speaking of golf tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to launch the Chili Dippers Invitational Golf Tournament?
Yeah, well, I've been putting a little bit of thought into this, what sort of format we can do, make it somehow a little bit different. I've come up with an idea, but it's got holes in it, so...
All right, let's just leave that as a teaser and go from there, though. But it's in the works.
Yeah. We might have to wait till it warms up a little bit before...
It won't be for a while. Yeah, no, it'll be a long lead-in for sure, but it's in the works. There will be a Chili Dippers Invitational Golf Tournament probably this summer.
Yeah, yes. And you'll be happy to know, Rolls, that I was speaking to you on the phone before for this, and I mentioned that I was in Albury looking at a new print machine to put in one of our businesses, and I walked into Drum and Golf and ended up buying a ridiculously expensive jacket. I wore it to the drive range in the middle of winter, and I was sweating. It worked that well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, that's good. Well, so, as you know, I'm quite opposed to playing golf in the cold, but you're not. So no, that's good that you've got a nice warm top for that.
So what else? Nothing else with the US Open. One thing about the Open was a good leaderboard. A lot of good names up the top, which is what I like to see. And the other thing is we didn't have one, even though DJ was leading for a lot of it, coming down the stretch, it was sort of anyone's. It was one of those ones where, the field all within a shot, and then one guy on like, you know, 6 shots better than everyone else. I like that.
You're right. It was always, and anyone could have sort of dropped 3 or 4 shots on it over 2 holes sort of thing and get right back in it or right out of it. So,
DJ's got to be kicking himself, though. Like, he makes a few putts on the last day he wins that. He seemed to miss them whenever Brooks Koepka, like, when he missed one, it was like, oh, here's DJ's chance. And he kept missing little 4 or 5 footers.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
As well.
But speaking of missing putts, Tommy Fleetwood, who, as we said, we both backed and finished second, he shot it on the last day, a 63, and on that, which is that course, that conditions is outrageous. Which was one, which was tied for the all-time course or Open record, US Open record. Yeah. But did you see his last putt on the 18th? He missed a, like a probably a. He was shooting the lights out all day, making putts from made a couple like 20 footers, missed one from about 3 feet to A, not get the all-time record, and B, force a playoff. He makes that putt, ends up going to a playoff against Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, no, I read about it. No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. So who, Rory McIlroy's got the all-time record of the US Open, hadn't he, with the 62?
At the US Open?
Yeah.
No, look, don't quote me. So I thought there was like two or three of them on 63. 62, I think, would have been the course record.
Oh, I thought Rory McIlroy got it.
McIlroy? Who's the...
No, not Rory McIlroy. Oh. Roy McIlroy.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were just mispronouncing. Yeah, look, I'm not...
You don't know who Roy McIlroy is?
Nah.
That's Kevin Costner's name in Tin Cup.
No, I was going to say when I thought you were pronouncing Rory McIlroy, I was going to say, you're not talking about Tin Cup, are you? And then then it looked like you were getting serious for a second. I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe there is. Maybe he's in that movie. He's named after someone in real life.
Nah. Rory McIlroy, yeah. He shoots a 62 to get a 10 under the all-time single round record in the US Open.
Yeah, so, yeah. So what, we got Brooks going back-to-back for the first time since, what, Curtis Strange in 88, 89?
Yeah, big effort. As I said, I don't know these blokes. It's funny, I wouldn't know him if he bloody walked in here now.
Oh, yes. He's pushing for my... I'm trying to find a... Because, you know, I'm pretty passionate. Like, I'll follow one... I love to find a favourite, you know, basketball player, whatever, and I follow... I'm trying to find a favourite golfer, and at the moment, it's a two-way tie between Brooks and
Ram?
Who?
Ram? John Ram?
Nah, Fowler.
Oh, and Fowler. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, I've got my boy, Bryce DeChambeau. I'm all over him.
You might want to learn to say his name properly.
I don't want to learn to say his name properly.
And see, I read somewhere that Brooks Koepka's appearance fee was that he was asking for the Australian Open last year was 700K. So it'd be interesting to see what he's asking for now. He's a two-time major winner.
Yeah, that's too much for an appearance fee.
Oh, it's outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I can't cop that.
Before even winning a cent, you just show up and you make that sort of dollars.
Yeah. Even if you don't make the cut, you make that sort of dollars, especially in Australia, where the winner's probably not getting that much.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing I want to mention about the US Open. Did you notice on the greens, they obviously had the mics were a little bit more powerful. Like, I wasn't sure where I felt about when the ball went in the hole, it had that almost like mini golf sort of sound as it went in.
Oh, I didn't know.
But what I did like about it picked up a lot of the conversation between the players and the caddies when they were walking around the green.
I didn't know. That is good. That's very good.
Yeah, no, I really like that. Because, as you know, I reckon there needs to be more of that.
Could be mic'd up, yeah.
But the course, look, what do you think of the look of it?
Yeah, I thought it started to get a bit scruffy. I wasn't a fan of the look of it.
Yeah. Looked like I said. I think at the start it was a bit of a novelty, and I liked it. And when the cameras got low, you could see the undulation. Some of those greens were just like they were like cliff faces. and one thing I did notice when they show the putt, they generally show a putt, you know, from behind the player looking at the hole. It looks like a 3 foot putt, and then they were putting the length of the putt up on the screen. And like what I'm thinking is it's tapping was like a 7'8" putt. And I'm thinking you just expect these blokes to make them like it's nobody's business.
And they're putting on glass. You're right. Yeah, it's funny. We do have high. Anytime they miss, you think, how did you miss that? Why did you miss that? They've got reasons.
And I don't know if you noticed some of the fashion was on display. I thought Nike's apparel game was pretty strong. Like a lot of the hats, those sort of retro style hats, like Brooks was wearing one that they were all wearing.
DeChambeau wears a cheese cutter, the old Cool and the Gang style hat.
He's
a Puma boy, though.
Yeah, yep. Speaking of Puma, I liked Ricky Fowler's hat with just the blue hat with just the white P, just a real basic thin font P. I thought it was fantastic. Which I seen in Drummond Golf today, which I actually bought that. Which I don't know why I didn't.
You saw something and didn't buy it? That's unusual.
Yeah. But look, other than that, I think, we'll start wrapping this pot up now. We've actually gone a bit longer than I thought we were going to go for. We're going to do a pod next week, and then we might have a break because we're getting ready to go on our trip, which we're going to be recording a lot of podcasts, and hopefully we're starting to get a bit more fresh and a bit more, because we've been the last few pods, we haven't had a round of golf for a little while, so we'll get some new courses in, some top 100s.
Yeah, getting 4 or 5 courses in there will be real handy.
I think I'm going to hit the halfway milestone of the top 100 courses while we're up there, Rolls, if it all pans out correctly.
That's good.
But other than that, anything you want to say before we wrap this up?
No, thanks for that. Good to go. See you, mate.
All right, mate. Right, we'll hand this podcast... Well, so we'll finish this podcast now and we'll hand it over to Hornsby in the Range. Chili Dippers out. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash.